Turn to the Word of God once again for our instruction. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We read through to chapter 2 and the verse 3. Come, let us hear the Word of the living God. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every herb for meat," and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Amen. Thus far the reading of Holy Sacred Scripture, and we pray the Lord himself will please bless it to us this morning. Those are precious words that we sang there, and I trust that you saw in the sixth verse of that hymn the reference to that bright Sabbath, that Sabbath that shall come where there is everlasting rest for the saint. Shine on, eternal sun, pour richer floods of life and light, till that bright Sabbath be begun, that glorious day which knows no night. We long and look forward to that blessed Sabbath, that time of rest when there shall be no more night, but the brightness of heaven shall be Jesus Christ himself. There shall be no need for the sun or the moon. Those things will have passed away, and we will forever be in the everlasting kingdom of the Son of Righteousness. We long for that precious day. Now, as we come to the Word of God this morning, I trust if you were with us last Lord's Day, as we began to understand with our finite minds, as we began to ponder the staggering, omnipotent power and wisdom of an almighty God who created all things by the power of his word, as we began to ponder those things, as God created the expanse of the universe, I trust that we were immensely humbled before Almighty God as we saw his power, as we saw his wisdom, how he made all things. We thought at one time how he created every single living beast in one day, and how I gave you some statistics, and how there are hundreds of thousands of different kinds of animals, let alone insects, and we think of the plant life, how God did that all in one day. Amazing. We began to think about whales and mighty creatures. Told you how big the whale's heart is. It's as heavy as a car and as big as a car. God made those creatures great and small, from the ant to the elephant, crocodiles, parrots, and every plant and animal conceivable. God made all of creation in just 6 days. He could have made it in one day. And we'll begin to see why he made it in 6 days. For we are made in his image and after his likeness, and God is setting a pattern for us as his people. Ever since creation, we have been living to a 7-day pattern. because this is God's design for us. So I trust that we were deeply humbled before Almighty God as we began to contemplate these incredible things, how God created all things in six literal days. And then, as we read here in verse 26, where God says, "And let us make man in our image." There you notice that God, though he is one, he exists in an us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is a wonderful reference there, first reference, to a God who exists not only in the Father, but in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am in the Father as the Father is in me." And Christ saves people by his Holy Spirit. And when he saves them, they are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. No other creature is made in the image of God except for man. We are unique above all creation. And in these verses of Scripture, God has set us over all creation to subdue the land, to cultivate the land, to dress it, to tend it, to be the guardian over all of God's creatures. And we thought of how we ought to be kind to the humbler nature and how we are not to mistreat nature. And reference was made last week as to how man was to eat the herb. He was not eating meat at this stage. Death had not come into the world. There's no death. See there, man is to eat every herb bearing seed. That was his meat. Death had not come. And then now we enter verse 31 of chapter 1. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." That is the end of creation. Now we'll come back in our later studies to consider how man is made in the image of God. Because when we get into chapter 2, we will see references such as how God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. Now, creatures of this earth do not have souls. Man has a soul. We are more than just flesh and bones. We are a living soul, created so different to the rest of all creation. And so we'll come back to that as we go further on into chapter 2. But what I want to particularly focus on this morning are the first three verses of chapter 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, I want us to stop and think. Perhaps you've never thought of this. Since creation, man has only ever known, he has only known 24 hours in a day. Why do I say that? Well, we can't choose a longer day. You say, well, why is that? Why can't we choose a longer day? Well, simple. The earth spins on its axis, and it takes exactly 24 hours for the earth to spin around. That's why we have a 24-hour day. Nobody here can say, I decide to have a 30-hour day or a 10-hour day. We can't change how fast the earth spins on its 23.5-degree axis. We can't change that. That is set. God has set that. He's set time. And it is utterly amazing how the earth does not lose speed. We are constantly keeping this time, and God is keeping it all in time. He made the universe. He's sustaining it by the power of his hand. And we have all been confined to a 24-hour day. It is something that is fixed to man. He is trapped in, as it were, and I don't use that word unkindly, as if somehow we're prisoners, but God has deliberately created a 24-hour day for each and every one of us. Nobody can say, I want a longer day or a shorter day. We also have 365 days in a year. Now, we mark the years by the seasons, don't we? Summer's come again. We know that in 365 days, 5 hours and 49 minutes, we'll be back at the same point in time. That is exactly how God has worked it and ordered us and all creation to work, to live, and to exist within those time parameters. And also to rest within every single day. We know we need a certain amount of sleep, don't we? God knows, because He's made us, created us, He has made the hours as such, the day, because we need a certain amount of sleep. We go to sleep when it's dark outside, when we can close our eyes, there are no distractions, and we can rest in that 24-hour day. So God has made the 24-hour day, and it's essential for the natural functions of us as human beings. I mean, we just couldn't function without proper sleep and proper rest, and these cycles we need as human beings. So this is how God has made everything. God not only created all things, but He created time. And as Christians, we do rejoice in that, because time is made for us, for our good. And let me just say this by way of application. We need to do everything within the time that God has given us. We need to keep time and hours and days, because it helps us to cope in life. We need a certain amount of sleep. We need a certain amount of work. Too little work is no good for us. Too little sleep is no good for us. So there's a balance, which I trust we will see as we go through the book of Genesis here. But I want you to notice that on the seventh day here, after God had created all things and ended on the sixth day and rested from all His labors, God rested on the seventh day. Now I say this is, He rested for an example, because God didn't need to rest. God didn't need to rest. God doesn't tire like you and I. He's omnipotent. Nobody can exhaust the power of God. God could have created 100 more million worlds if He wanted to. He could have carried on. But this is all as a pattern for us, because God knows that we are, as it were, less than Him. We are made in His image. And you see, made in His image, He knows the constraints, though we are lesser beings. And if we ever thought that we were to be utterly like God, we would never rest. But God deliberately rested for us, for our good, because we are the creatures, we're not the creator. So God doesn't need rest. He didn't need to rest, but He did it for us. And I hope we will at least get that out of the text here today. He is omnipotent. You cannot exhaust the power of God, but He rested for us. If we don't see that here in the text, we are not going to get anything out of it today. We who are made in His image are designed to follow His pattern, to work 6 days, as we will see in Exodus chapter 20, and then to rest one day a week. Do you know that France attempted to do away with a seven-day week during the French Revolution? But it didn't work, because man's not wired to work 10 days and then to rest one day. But man is so created to work 6 days and then to rest on the one day. This is God's design. Man couldn't cope with that. Our human bodies function by God's ordained sabbatical cycle. The Sabbath, that word Sabbath just means rest. So don't be afraid of that word. Sabbath means rest. Day of rest. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. There you have the work of God completed and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Now, what did God do on the seventh day? That's what I want us to think about this morning. Well, our text tells us that there are several things. There are several key words as we look at these verses this morning that describe the rest and the activity of God on that seventh day. And I think we can learn a lot from this as how we are to keep the Lord's Day. And I trust that I will faithfully be able to show you throughout the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, how there still remains a day of rest for God's people. Number one, God ended his work. He rested. Number two, he blessed the day and he sanctified it. That is, he made it holy. The word there in the Hebrew is the word kadesh, which means holy. He made it a holy day, and we'll consider what that means. So I trust that all these things will help to answer some of the questions that we may have flowing through our minds. Do Christians celebrate? Should they celebrate? Should they keep one special day in the week? Why has the day moved from the seventh day to the first day? Somebody might be asking that question. Why is it in the Old Testament they had the seventh day, and why is it in the New we keep the first day? These are very important questions, and we need to answer them. Is the fourth commandment required? Remember the Lord's Day, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, which is the fourth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Are we to keep that? Well, first, I want us to see, as we begin to examine the text, I trust that we will see, firstly, that God rested on the seventh day. Now, as I reiterate, God did not need to rest because he's omnipotent. And he doesn't even rest now in one sense, because if God rested today, the Bible says all things are sustained by him and kept by him. He clothes the lily of the field. He gives food to the beast of the field. He sustains the planets. He is working. And in the words of the Lord Jesus, he said, "My Father and I worketh till now." There is that sense, as is God is the creator. He is always at work, but we are to rest in him. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus. Hear it? The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath wasn't made for God, but it was made for man. And the Lord Jesus, as he said, is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He therefore has a right to change that day. But note here that God rested on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he hath made. So the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 has told us that God did not only create the universe, but he made time. And he rested specifically on this seventh day. Now this is very important, friends, because though God could have made the world in an instant, and I want us to think about that, God could have made the whole universe just in a flash like that. But he chose to do it in 6 days. Now, why did he choose to do it in 6 days? Was it because he was weak? Was it because he was somehow deficient? No. Well, you see, friends, here's the answer. God was setting a pattern for you and I. We are made in his image. As we read there in verse 26. Did you see that? Verse 26, made in his image. He was setting a pattern for our well-being because he knows our frailty. Adam did not have inexhaustible energy. Yes, he was far superior to us in his unfallen state. But Adam did not have inexhaustible energy. Adam was not God. God was keeping in mind Adam's frailty and his weakness in all of this. Could have made the world in one day, but he didn't. Why? Because he was doing this as our pattern and for our well-being. Too high of a goal for Adam to achieve, to work every day and to never have rest from a physical standpoint. Now, God, of course, continues, as we read in Colossians 1:17, to uphold everything that he has made. He continues to open up his hand and to satisfy the need of every living thing. Let me read the words of the Apostle Paul, Colossians 1:17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." They consist by him. They continue to be consisting. If God stopped holding this universe and working today, it wouldn't be. And we're also told that God neither slumbers nor sleeps, but he rested for us. Now that's wonderful. That's wonderful, isn't it? God rested for us. What a loving God. We see immediately here, the omnipotent God rested for his creature. What grace. How kind. What condescension. What matchless condescension. It was not from tiredness that God rested, but he rested in love for us, that we might rest in him, that we might have all of our sustenance and joy in him, that we might have our life in him, that we would not be frenzied and consumed in our lives. We are not as the tireless God of heaven. Adam, though, as I said, was far superior to us, but he was not omnipotent. His strength and his ability was limited, yet we behold the loving nature of our gracious God. So God rested. But why did he rest? He rested for us. God rested for us to set a pattern. God needs no rest. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Rested for us, that we might rest in him, that we might take one day aside a week and contemplate more fully our God and behold him and thank him for the one who he would send to give us an everlasting rest, an everlasting hope in the Lord Jesus, who gives us rest. The rest is in him. You see, this day would eventually be replaced by the day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And all who are in Christ are a new creation. And they have everlasting rest in him. Why? Because he is coming again to make a new heavens and a new earth. And there will be no more night, as we've said already. And there will be rest in Jesus Christ. Secondly, God blessed the seventh day. Look with me. And God blessed the seventh day. What does that mean? Well, it means something like this. He gave it something unique. He set it above all the other days. Something different from the other 6 days. In other words, this is my day, God is saying. The other days are for you to work and to earn your keep, to till the land, to cultivate. Yes, to keep me in mind in those days and to have fellowship with me. Oh, but here's a special day. That's my day. Here is a divine sanction like no other day. A day that for the rest of time and history, man's special relationship with God could be cultivated. You see, they could cultivate the land the rest of the other days. But on this day, our relationship with God would be nurtured, cultivated. He made it a day above every other day, a day of blessing. He blessed it. He set it apart. For man's good, not for God's good, but for man's good. Now, it's true, isn't it, that every day is God's day? That's true in one sense. Every day belongs to him. He is the giver of days. He's the giver of years. He's the giver of centuries and millennia. He's the giver of everything. But he is particularly the giver of a blessed day. A day when we can come to him. Well, what does this day bring? Well, it brings in temporal as well as a peculiar blessing with God despite man's fall. When I say it brings in temporal blessing, what I mean is this. It's given to rest, yes, from our labors, so that we don't burn out and so that we can rest physically. But also in that day, we're reminded that God loves us and that he created. And you see, if we were just to live every day without thinking of God, we would forget about why we're here, what we're doing. We would forget about God. We would also forget about ourselves. It would just be work, 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 and we would not have God. We would be self-consumed and we would not be thinking of God. So it brings in a temporal blessing as we rest and especially as we think on God and meditate on him, but it brings in, through the passage of time, an everlasting rest. It does. It's quite remarkable. If you please turn in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. This is a wonderful section of God's Word. Have a look in your Bibles. Hebrews 4, verse 4. I want to read through to verse 11. Writer to the Hebrews is referring to what God is, what he spoke in time past. And he's referring here to the Old Testament and how the Old Testament Sabbath looked to another Sabbath, another day. And you'll see that here. Those people who have ever questioned whether the Sabbath is perpetual ought to examine these words here. Hebrews 4:4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, here is speaking about an eternal rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now note verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? You see, Jesus didn't give them rest then. And here he's speaking to Jews who are wanting to go back to the Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic way of law. But they didn't get rest. See, there was a day of eternal rest preached to people in the Old Testament, but they didn't enter into God's rest. They perished in the wilderness. They didn't get to the promised land, and that promised land was pointing to Emmanuel's land, heaven. We are told by Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 that it was Christ that led them out of the wilderness. It was he that was in the pillar of cloud. It was he that came out of the rock. It was he that is the manna that falls from heaven. The Lord Jesus is all of those things. But look, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? And what is that day? The Lord's day. The Lord's day, Sabbath. The day when we rest because Jesus dies and is risen again. And we rest in him. That's why the day changed. Because it has a creation ordinance. In Christ we are new creatures. His life and his death and his resurrection speak about a new life. And we rest in him. Now look on. Verse 9 there. Remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. You ever question that there is not a day? It's very clear here. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. There you have it. There still remains a day. And what day is that? What did John say when he was on the island of Patmos? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There remains one day, and it's a day of rest. It's a day that is in Christ. It would be a day that the gospel would be preached. And as we're preaching now, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and we will rejoice in it. He's made this day. And those Sabbaths, we're pointing to this Sabbath. And this Sabbath points to that Sabbath. An everlasting Sabbath. When we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus. So God rested. And it points, friends, to our eternal and everlasting rest with him. Thirdly, God sanctified the day. Look with me. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Well, the word here, sanctified, means he made it holy. Kadesh is the word. He set it apart, he made it holy. Well, all of creation, and we've got to understand at this point in time, is holy. Sin has not entered into the world. Eve has not been tempted. Adam has not fallen. All of creation is holy, yet God sets peculiarly apart this day as holy. Holy, why? Because it's the Lord's day. He alone is holy. Adam is in a state of innocency. Adam is not holy and virtuous in himself, but God is holy. It's his day. God is saying, this is my peculiar day amongst you. This is a holy day. This is the day. Why? It's holy because you are drawing near to me. It's my day. I want you to rest from your labors. Surely it is to be so that we are to glorify God every day of the week. Wouldn't we agree with that? Every day of our lives we are to give to God. Paul says, whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, do it to the glory of God. And we are to be holy, as Peter says, and as the Lord Jesus says, just as your Father is holy. Every day is holy. But friends, there is a particular day when we are to draw nearer to God and set it apart from every other day, where we rest from our labors, when we can spend special time with God that we cannot do in an ordinary day of the week when our minds are just consumed with the things all around us. I don't know about you, but I can't concentrate on two things at the same time. And I don't think that's just endemic of men. I think it's true of all people. You can't think and give God the devotion and the love that He requires or that He deserves, shall I say, when you're too busy with other things. Well, friends, when somebody says to me, you know, I'm too busy to come to church, what do I say? You're too busy. God says, it's my day. Keep it holy. And that's just not in the morning, friends. I'm afraid there are some people that just think, well, and I'm not trying to be legalistic. I'm just trying to be faithful and preach the Word of God. It's the Lord's day. It's not just the Lord's morning. And we should seek to try to nurture our souls as much as we can in the Word of God on the Lord's day. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says we have to meet twice on a Sunday, but why not? If God's told us it's His day, why not keep it as His day? We ought to. Well, at this point, there were no tabernacles. And you say, well, there was no tabernacle. But you know, God was tabernacling with Adam and Eve. It says that He would talk with them in the cool of the day. We don't have that. And I would imagine on the Sabbath it was more time because they weren't engaged in all their work. But they could spend more time with God. Why is that a curse? That's not a curse. That's a blessing. Coming to church shouldn't be a chore. Should be a blessing, wouldn't you agree? It should be something that we're just so eager to do. Oh Lord, I can't wait for Sunday. Some people, you've got to drag them along. Something wrong, you know, when somebody says, oh, I've got to go to church on Sunday. Something wrong. Should never be like that, friends. Should never have to say to somebody, come on, stop sleeping. Come along. Oh, yes, I want to come and I want to be with God and I want to be with His people and I want to hear about this gracious God who's done so much for me. If you're a Christian, surely that's your desire. And maybe if you're too tired on a Sunday morning, maybe you ought to get to bed early on Saturday night. Get to bed early. So you have a better Lord's Day. Christians can't think if they've been out all night on Saturday. You won't enjoy the Lord's Day. Another thing is if you haven't done all your work and you try and squeeze it in on Sunday, you're going to squeeze God out. I don't want to squeeze God out. Do you want to squeeze God out of your life? Oh, friends, look, we've got 6 days in which to work, and that includes Saturday. You can do your home chores. Many of us just work 5 days a week. But then we've got jobs at home and we can do our washing and everything else on the Saturday. Rest on the Sunday. Spend time with God. I tell you what, if you don't try to make that time, what will happen is you'll end up squeezing God out. This is why we don't shop. We don't shop because, number one, we want to keep the Lord's Day. But another thing is we don't want to cause other people to work on Sunday. So we stay away from the supermarket. Stay away from all those places. You need to get petrol in the car, just get it done on the Saturday, whatever. Do what jobs you've got to do so you can give the Lord His whole day. Not out of a sense of legality. We're doing this because we want to, surely. It's made for us, friends, to be with our God. Well, I want you to see something. Number four, this day was made because it was a creation ordinance. And there are 3 creation ordinances. As we study the book of Genesis, you will see them. God has placed in humanity 3 ordinances. And even if Adam had never sinned, they still would have been kept up till this time. These 3 ordinances. Well, what are they? I'm going to give them to you in reverse order. The first one is marriage. That's a creation ordinance. Marriage is a creation ordinance. The world God made was very good. And then God saw that it was not good for Adam to be on his own. So He created a helpmeet, took out of Adam's bones, so it was bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, and made woman to be a helpmeet. Verse 18, God tells us that Adam needed a helpmeet, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, I will make him an helpmeet for him. Think about it, all the wonderful birds of all creation, all the animals, they couldn't help Adam, they couldn't speak to Adam. Adam couldn't walk up to an elephant and start talking to it. Couldn't help him. It couldn't meet his needs as a woman could. So God made woman. And the scriptures, look at verse 24, tell us, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall become one flesh. God ordained marriage. And it was between man and woman. Not between man and man or woman and woman. But it was between man and woman. So they could also procreate. You and I wouldn't be here if God didn't make a man and a woman. So this is all part of God's design over society. It's an ordinance. It's an ordinance. This ordinance of man and woman joining together. Homosexuality and lesbianism is anti-creation. It's against creation. Have you ever thought about it? It is actually against creation. We wouldn't be here. The second creation ordinance is labor. What did God say to Adam? Till the land. Dress the land. That was a command. That was an instruction. This is how you're going to live, Adam. God didn't place Adam in the Hilton Hotel, did he? He didn't put him in the library. He didn't give him servants. Adam wasn't waiting under a grape tree, relying on the law of gravity to feed him grapes. Adam had to work. It was for Adam's good. Just as marriage is for our good, work is for our good. You lock a man up in the prison and you ask him how he's feeling after 6 months. He'll say, please, could you give me something to do? I'm bored stiff. Give me something to do. Why? Because he's made in the image of God. Work is a creation ordinance. But you see, people abuse, just as they abuse marriage, people have abused work. People are either too lazy, they don't want to work, or they're workaholics. The two extreme. The balance is to be thus. And that's why I've come in last with the Lord's Day, the Sabbath. The balance is not too much work, not too little work. God, your Creator, knows exactly what you and I need. Isn't that wonderful? And when we say, I need to work Sunday, you're saying you know better than God. And I don't mean to be unkind, friend, but you'll only harm yourself. You'll only harm your soul, because if we work, 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 you don't feed your soul. You feed your body, but your soul is impoverished. What will it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and yet loses his soul? That's what people are doing. What are people doing today out there in the world? They're working 6 days or maybe 5 days a week, and then they have what's called the weekend. They don't have a Sabbath, they don't have a day of rest. And what do they do on the weekend? Well, they get drunk on the Saturday night. They're waking up many people today with a hangover, if they can get up. And then they'll maybe go and play a bit of golf, a bit of 10-pin bowling, or go to the beach or somewhere and get drunk again, or just read the Sunday newspapers. But they are neglecting their soul. Oh, friends, God has made us in his image. And what we need is to be with him. This is one day. This is why it's a blessed day. This is why God has set it apart. And if we neglect that day, friends, we neglect our souls. We neglect our souls, and we must not do that. So those three ordinances, and it's little wonder, could we not say that society is spiraling worse and worse because we are neglecting those three things. We either abuse marriage and make light of it and make it to be something that God has not made it, or work has become too important or not important enough, and there's no blessed day. Three ordinances in God's word. Let us give God his day. On the Lord's Day, let's turn that TV off. Let's turn that radio off. Let's close those newspapers and let's give it to God. It's his day. This is why God tells us in Exodus that this particular day we're to cease from our works We're to give it to the Lord. You know, long before, some of you may think, well, the Sabbath only came at the time of Exodus chapter 20. Well, you would be wrong there, because you can turn to Exodus chapter 16 and you will find that the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Exodus 16, 28. So they were keeping the Sabbath right from here in the Garden of Eden, right to Exodus 16. And then God says to Moses, "What? Why aren't you keeping? Why are my people not keeping my commandments? You should remember the Lord's Day, you should remember the Sabbath." And what were they commanded to do? Remember, they were being fed by manna from heaven. And on the day before the Sabbath, they were to collect twice as much manna so they could eat it on the Sabbath. But the rest of the days of the week, if you collected too much, by the next day it would have gone rotten. It didn't last. But you know what God did? When they collected the day before the Sabbath, that manna lasted 2 days. So it was good. It was just as new on the Sabbath. God provided. And there's a lesson there, friends. If we as God's people honor Him, if we seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, He'll provide our needs. I don't know how many people I've talked to as Christians. They've been offered work on a Sunday and they've turned down the job, and God has provided them a better job. I've seen it in this own church here. You see, we've got to trust the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be nurses and doctors and so on who need to work, because those are works of necessity. We've got to care for the person that's dying or sick. But there are lots of jobs that are not jobs of necessity. Friends, if we honor the Lord, He'll honor His people. So what can we say? Well, there's so many things to say. God says, remember this day. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Isn't that wonderful? But He's made it for us. We mustn't ever think, Sunday, what a job. I've got to put down my tools and I've got to stop. Look at the Lord's day as a blessing. Delight in the Lord's day. And I'll tell you what, He'll fill your soul with things that you've never tasted before. God says, remember the day. Keep it holy. Why? Because it's the Lord's day. My day. And it's the day when my son rose from the dead. It's a new day now. And you rest in Him. It's not the family day. It's not your day, but it's God's day. Who is spirit, who is infinite, who is eternal, who is unchangeable. It's His day. It's not enough each day just to give God a little bit of time and then to give Him a little bit of time on the Sunday. It's not enough. You will starve your soul. We've got to give God our all. What does it mean to keep the day? It means to preserve it. Remember the Lord's day. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget it. So I've got so much to do. And you've got a tendency to forget God. So let's remember to keep the Lord's day. There, as in Nehemiah's day, you know, in Nehemiah's day in the city of Jerusalem, he would have to lock certain of the gates in the city on the Sabbath. Why? To stop disturbance. But there are many gates that we are going to have to lock. Some of them will be things like television. You know, one of the greatest witnesses you can give to your family is this. They'll say, come around, let's go out into this theme park on the Sunday, the Lord's Day, they'll say. I think it's more of a witness to say to them, look, I would love to be with you. I really would. But you know, God has His day. And I claim to be a child of God. I don't claim to be perfect, but God has said that I'm going to be blessed on this day. God has promised to bless His people. And you can say to them, well, why not come with me to hear His word? Come with me. That's the better witness. You're no witness to your family when we say we're Christians and we do not keep God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not unloving to people when we say to them, look, I love you, but God loves me as his child. And his best for me and for others as Christians. And I must go to encourage other Christians. And that's another thing, friends. Fellowship. Where would you ever get time to have fellowship in this way that you can't have during the week? I mean, you just can't have fellowship like this, can you? In the week with other Christians. So God is wise, isn't he? In all of his ways. Let's keep the Lord's day. God changed, friends. Let's close with this. This day, the Sabbath, to the first day of the week. You can read Matthew 12, Mark 2, Luke 6. In all three of these instances, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. You hear that? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And being the Lord of the Sabbath, he has the right to change it from the seventh day to the first day of the week. He is Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees were accusing him of working, but he wasn't. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And it changed when Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And in Jesus Christ, anybody, the Bible says, whoever's in Christ is a new creation. It has a creation ordinance. You see what I'm saying? We come back to this. Because in creation, God established the Sabbath. But in Jesus Christ, there is a new creation. If you have been born again, you are a new creature. And now in the Lord Jesus Christ, we rest in him, we hope in him, we have life in him, we have everything in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus promised that this day is made for man. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. For us to be with him here every Lord's day and wherever God's people meet faithfully, Christ, as we read in the book of the Revelation, walks amidst the lampstands. He walks amidst his church. And he, in a peculiar way, blesses his people. Isn't that wonderful? So he rose from the dead on this day. It was the day of the week when Christ first appeared to his disciples, when he rose again. And another thing is, the Holy Spirit was given on the Lord's day. You ever thought about that? On the day of Pentecost, it was the Lord's day. The Holy Spirit was given on the Lord's day. It was the day also when the apostles first began to meet. In Acts 20, verse 6, we read, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. That's it. First day of the week, Christians began to meet. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Why should we keep the Lord's day? I'll just give you some reasons as we close. Number one, because God said so. And for me, that's enough. God says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Well, that's enough for me. I don't need to question God. If you're a Christian, we don't need to question God. God says, keep it. And you know what Jesus Christ said? He spoke about after he would die and be taken up to heaven. And he was speaking about the tribulation. He said, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Now, either the Lord Jesus Christ got all of his theology in his time wrong, which I doubt, there remains a Sabbath, as Hebrews 4 tells us. And there will remain a Sabbath, pointing to that eternal, everlasting rest. Why should we keep it? Well, it's his day to worship him. It's for our good, because we have a soul. We're not just 6 days a week people who have flesh and bones and we don't have a soul. I've got to feed my soul. I think I would go crazy if I didn't have the Lord's day. And if we don't keep the Lord's day, we slip and we slide. That's what was happening to the Hebrews. They were to keep a day. Let's keep the day. Why should we keep it? Well, because it's proof of our love to him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why should we keep it? Well, because if we don't keep it, we will die spiritually. And practically, we'll burn out. And I mean it. Too much work will burn you out. Not enough rest in Christ. You'll be a dry prune. You'll be poor toward God. Why should we keep it? Because fellowship in the body of Christ is essential. John says if we walk in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we do that especially on the Lord's Day. Why must we keep Sundays? Well, because it implies a balance between resting and worshiping. You've got to rest, but you also got to worship. And you can do it better on the Lord's Day. But lastly, let me say the Sabbath, as we've already said, speaks of God our Creator, who will give us an everlasting rest from sin and from the world. The lust of the flesh, pride of man, John says all these things are passing away. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. This world's passing away, friends. You know, it's a dangerous road to travel on. The more you work and the more you attain, because as Solomon says, the eye is never satisfied, the ear is never filled. Talk to a rich man, say to him, how much more money will make you happy? He'll say, just a little bit more. Only God can fill that empty void in our hearts. Only God can give us rest. And in Jesus Christ, we have everlasting rest. And if we love Him and if we believe Him, we're going to want to encourage our hearts to be kept from this world, surely, until that blessed day of our Jesus Christ, who said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. Do you have that peace, that rest in Christ? So every Sunday we come, we meet with Him, He gives us rest, and again and again and again, He gives us rest. The words of John Newton, safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on the present Sabbath day. Day of all the week, the best emblem of eternal rest. May thy gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. That's it. What we need to do is encourage one another all the more as we see that great day approaching. For he spake in a certain place of a seventh day, on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had not given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. As we close, let me just appeal to anybody that is without Jesus Christ today. I urge you to come to Christ. I say in love, you need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. Have no confidence in yourself. I pray that you will see your only hope is that bloody form that died on the cross at Calvary. For in Him there is life and hope, everlasting life. Jesus said, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to him, put your trust in the Lord Jesus, repent of your sins, and you will enter that rest today, and you will have the hope of everlasting rest with the Father and with the Son and with all the company of the redeemed. Amen. Let us pray.